and welcome to the Libby's Podcast, conversations with authors who've been shortlisted for the British Book Awards, lovingly known as the Nibbies. I'm your host and longtime Nibbies fan, Hannah McInnes. These awards celebrate books and everyone who makes them, honouring the entire creative, collaborative journey of a book, from the author's mind to the reader's hand. And that's what we're going to do on this podcast. Chat to some of today's best-loved authors about their books, their writing, what's gone on behind the scenes to get them to where they are, and those lovely moments when they and the books they've created have found their readers.
Hello, my name is Atinuke, and I am the author of Brilliant Black British History, which is a book about British history and about people with black and brown skin in Britain throughout the ages, starting with the Stone Age and finishing in the present day.
My name is Kingsley Nabechi. I'm a graphic designer, illustrator, and artist. And I'm the artist of this fantastic book.
Well, we're going to talk about those brilliant illustrations shortly. Atinuke, you've said you poured so much of your lives and your love into this, and it's obvious that you have. I just wonder what drove your passion and your drive to bring this to the world.
Well, when I decided to write it and I started writing it, there were no other books about Black British history, solely Black British history, for primary school children, which it was so shocking when I discovered that. Because if there is not a book about a subject, then it kind of sends the message to children that it's not important. So at first I was driven by an intense desire to provide primary school children, particularly black and brown primary school children, with a book about black British history, to show them that their history is just as important as any other aspect of British history. But then as the research went on and I made more and more and more and more what were for me incredibly exciting discoveries, then I was just driven by the desire to tell this incredible story, the incredible story of Black British history.
Those exciting discoveries are many. Before we get to those, Kingsley, how did you get involved? And similarly, why did you want to? What appealed to you about the project?
So I was initially contacted by Bloomsbury. And when I first heard about the project, it was something that I'd never done before in terms of historical figures. And I'm very used to illustrating things from like modern times. So taking something that I'd never done before, I try to always tackle something I'm not too familiar with, because I feel like there's always room for growth when you do things that you're not 100% familiar with. And it was just like an opportunity to really get better at just illustrating historical figures and historical events, which I'd never done before, not as much, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And those exciting discoveries, Atinuke, did you learn a huge amount in your research? Perhaps you could tell us some of the things that most surprised you.
Well, I think the biggest thing was that I thought that Black British history started 2,000 years ago with the Roman invasion of Britain and the Black soldiers, the Black Legion that came, and the Black Romans. I thought that was the beginning of the history of people with black skin in Britain. But through my research, what I wanted, my initial vision of the book was to start in the Stone Age and go all the way from the Stone Age to the modern era, and say a little bit about each era of British history, and include black people when they existed. And when I started my research into the Stone Age, I discovered that actually Stone Age people had black and brown skin, And that for me was the most incredible discovery. They were a different ethnicity to modern Black British people, but they had dark Black skin. And so I realized that the history of Black people in Britain started 12,000 years ago, and that the first migrants who had significantly paler skin only arrived in Britain 4,500 years ago. So actually Black British history is longer than White British history. And that totally blew my mind.
How did you feel about the fact that you in 2024 had to find that out through your own research?
Yeah, I mean, the book has definitely made me more political.
I'm not surprised.
I realise that actually a lot of historians, well, in history, in telling history, you have to leave bits out. I had to leave a lot out of the book. You can't include everything. And then you start realising what has been left out and why it's been left out. Yeah.
Kingsley, how much did you learn in engaging with the book through your illustrations?
That's actually one of the reasons why I enjoy working on the project, because I feel like everything I work on, I want to learn something from it. I don't want to step into a project and walk away just feeling like I've just tackled everything within my knowledge and actually left with nothing, you know, nothing new. And I felt like every page was like an opportunity to study it, almost kind of made me feel like I was in school and actually illustrating my own history book. I feel like every single spread, was an opportunity to learn something new, which has probably contributed to the speed which I created the images, because I felt like I would just get into like a stage where I research something I wasn't familiar with and then end up spending some time researching that at the same time. So yeah, I feel like every spread was just like a window into like a new side of history I wasn't familiar with.
That you weren't familiar with, and yeah, neither of you were familiar with. And you said, Atanuke, in the last answer that you realised how much was left out and why. Why?
Well, I think there's probably different reasons throughout history that boil down to racism. I think that, you know, for a long time, British identity was based on white supremacy. I'm talking about during the era of the transatlantic slave trade, where it was justifiable to kidnap and traffic and enslave millions of Black people because they weren't really people. And it was okay to colonize countries and take them from the people who already lived there because those people were uncivilized people, because they had Black or brown skin, their cultures weren't respected. And so there was white supremacy. And so then, you know, leaving, it was more convenient to leave out of history things that maybe challenged that narrative. And I think I know that even today, the people are very invested in the idea that Britain is a white country, and that people with Black and brown skin are newcomers to Britain, sometimes to be welcomed, sometimes to be tolerated, other times to be rejected, but that the power and the ownership of these islands are in the hands of white people. And so including in history that actually the people who built Stonehenge had brown skin is very, very challenging. And, you know, the book has been very, very challenging for a lot of people in Britain. It's been sad to see how strong racism is in this country today.
Is that something then that you both experienced through bringing this book into the world? Kingsley, what was your interpretation or experience of that?
It felt like it was a lot of negative attention as well. And it kind of reminds you that racism still goes on. And I was born in Italy. There's a minor error in the book when it says I was born in Nigeria, but I was actually born in Italy. And it kind of brought me back to those times in a way. So it's really difficult. It was really, really difficult. But at the same time, I always kind of like to remember that some pieces of information sometimes are not the easiest to accept. So in a way, it's like, you know, there were days when I was just like, this is too much to handle, but at the same time you have to bring information, and sometimes you have to be the person to bring that information. So I also respect the fact that she's taken the first step to write this book, because, you know, it's easy to say, oh, I don't want to do it because I don't want the burden of this particular thing, but I think I will respect the people, someone like any person that stands up to do something first, because it almost kind of gives the courage for others to be like, do you know what? Yeah, I do want to work hard and bring this piece of information forward.
So. Yeah. And I suppose if anything showed how important it was that the world or this country learnt about this history, it's that you conducted a survey, didn't you, alongside the book coming out, which showed that the majority of people in this country could not name a single Black British historical figure. So books like this, how can they change that?
Well, hopefully there is a new generation of children growing up who, with this book and other, there are now on the market other great books about Black British history for children. And there are more and more coming out, both fiction and non-fiction, that there's a new generation of children growing up who do know these names. And there's information coming out all the time, like the fact that the invention that drove the Industrial Revolution, the invention in wrought iron, that invention came about through, I think, 76 enslaved Jamaican men. And it was patented by a white British man who was hailed as the great inventor of iron. And, you know, we know that now, and children will grow up knowing that. And it's a really wonderful thing for children to realize that all British people have contributed to Britain, not just white people, but white, Black and brown people, people of every ethnicity have contributed to Britain, British history, and Britain being what the nation is today.
Mm. It shouldn't have to be said, really, should it? But it does. And as you say, the fact that it does and that children will learn about it in this way is invaluable to society. On a more positive note, we've talked about the reaction that wasn't positive, and that's, as sad as it is, perhaps it was inevitable, but so much of a positive reaction too from your readers. And I just wonder what your reflection is looking back on meeting your readers. I mean, Kingsley, did you get the chance to meet some of the people who've read the book and seen your illustrations?
Absolutely. So many people I've been able to speak to, as well as people that I already know, people that have just recently had children, people that a lot of friends of mine already have children that wanted the book, including my Barbara as well. She really enjoyed the book, him and his children. But I think aside from achievements or anything like that, for me, what really brings me joy is being able to see someone enjoying the book really from the heart and being able to like connect with the book. Those moments really make everything worth it, like the hours and the amount of time sort of like going over revisions and stuff like that. So seeing how people connect with the book is really like a really special moment to me. Like it makes everything just so worth it, you know.
Yeah, I have to say I agree with Kingsley. It has been so moving, and especially the reaction of the elders in the Black community. It's not just the children that have been delighted by the book, but so many of the grandparents really, really treasure this book. And I'm so pleased because I really wanted to write a book that was for children, but not just for children, a book that is accessible for anybody interested in Black British history, including people who don't consider themselves to be readers. So I wanted anybody to be able to pick up the book and read it through the illustrations, which they really can, thanks to Kingsley. The book can be read just through the illustrations, and for people to be able to dip into bits of text just when they see an illustration that draws them in and they want to know a little bit more, they can read that. And because there are amazing books for adults on Black British history, and they're all really thick with really tiny print, and you have to be really confident, be really ready to commit a lot of time and concentration. Not everybody has that, even if they're passionate about Black British history. And I, in a bookshop, I saw an older Rastafarian man kissing the book, and that was it. That was what made all of my blood, sweat, and tears worthwhile. Just seeing him kissing the book.
We've done the start of the journey, the drawing and the writing and the research. Well, we haven't done it. We've touched on it, and we've spoken about meeting and engaging with readers and what that means. And we've missed out the bit in between, the publishing journey, I suppose, the collaboration with the team at Bloomsbury. And I'm really interested to hear from both of you moments of that that perhaps stood out that you remember. Kingsley.
I think is the best way to describe it is like almost like an analogy of a village. You have people in a village who build things. You have people in a village who take care of the population. You have all types of different people that play a role into one successful town or a village. And I feel like it felt like that. It felt like everyone at Bloomsbury had like a particular assignment, and everyone really got together to make everything work. From even the designers, and as a designer myself, as somebody who studied graphic design rather than illustration, to see the book come together with all the design elements and as well as the information that was provided was just, I really enjoy seeing things come together. So like everyone at Bloomsbury was just really, really amazing. Even from just being able to kind of give me information as well as like going through different revisions and changes and stuff. So even in the parts where things could be misunderstood or things could go wrong, there was still kind of like a strong system or structure to make things work. So it wasn't the easiest at times, but as I said, it's like seeing the way people connect with the final product makes you realize how important it is to really pull through those moments and actually make things work.
Mm. What wasn't easy?
I would say it's just the level of details. I enjoy details, but when I was illustrating this book, I had to consider children and the way children visually read things and the way I read things as a child. So where with a large batch of my work, I like to be really sort of draw realistic, very realistic faces and all types of things. But with this book, I wanted to challenge myself to draw something that was a lot easier to take in by kids of all ages. So it still had details, but it didn't have the particular detail that maybe someone who's a lot older would enjoy or appreciate. So I think in those moments was just trying to work out a, for lack of a better word, a style that was still my own, but was still easy to be enjoyed by a younger audience, but also something that could be just as fun and friendly to their parents or brothers and sisters and family members who are a lot older than they are.
Well, I would say that you have succeeded hugely in that endeavor, and I think everyone would agree. And what about you, Atanuke, in terms of that publishing journey, working with the team at Bloomsbury on such an important book for all the reasons that we've talked about? What was that like?
Well, it was the biggest team of people that I've ever worked with. So I think that this is my 27th book. And I've never worked with such a huge team of people. I think for all of us, and I think I can speak for Kingsley as well, every single person involved in this project realized that we'd kind of bitten off more than we could chew, or we'd bitten off more than we thought we'd bitten off. like I said, we thought we were going to be focusing on 2,000 years of British history, and we ended up with 12,000 years of British history. So it was a steep learning curve for me, feeling like I needed to be up to speed with 12,000 years of British history in order to be able to cherry pick what I wanted to say. I needed to know so much so that I knew what were the important bits. But we went through three editors, and I don't know how many fact checkers, 4 or 5 fact checkers, as well as, all the people in the background. I had a researcher working alongside me, because it was too much to research all by myself. And it was a huge, huge, huge project, making sure, the fact checkers really have my eternal gratitude for just checking and checking and double checking. And there was nothing that could go into the book that I couldn't prove. And I remember one of my editors, Sally, coming back to me and saying, okay, you've said here that Ignatius Sancho was the first Black person on record, the first Black British person on record to vote. Where is the proof? And me saying, okay, I've read it. I know where I've read it. It's in this book somewhere. I'm finding it. And her saying, but where's the footnote? Where's the footnote that says where that information came from? It's not enough to just say, okay, I've read it in this book. And there wasn't a footnote. So she said, we're not going to be able to include it. And I happened to be in London. I was working on the edits in a hotel, which happened to be opposite the British Library. And in my lunch hour, I went over to the British Library, and they had a display of random things like, these are examples of things we've got in the British Library. And there was his voting slip.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, it was incredible. That was an incredible moment. There it was. And I could take a photo and WhatsApp it to Bloomsbury saying, here's the proof, keep it in. Yeah.
It's extraordinary. And it's clear a lot of effort goes into writing a book. That much is clear. But when you hear about things like that and just the extraordinary level of detail, and I think fastidiousness would be the right word, wouldn't it? I mean, it's really just an amazing endeavor. And that is a wonderful story. I'm so glad that we got to hear that. Just finally, I wonder what it means to you or how it feels to be on this shortlist for a NIBBY.
It is an amazing feeling. It feels like being recognized and being seen and being acknowledged, and to have the establishment, as it were, say, this is an important book. It's great. Mm. Yeah.
Well, it's richly deserved as a shortlist. And best of luck. Thank you very, very much to you both for joining us on this podcast today. Thanks very much.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, make sure to subscribe to the series to hear more conversations with Nibby's authors. And we'd love it if you'd rate it and leave us a review. Do visit thebookseller.com/British-book-awards to find out more about the industry's biggest celebration of books and all who make them. This podcast was produced by Heavy Entertainment.